Birthday Kimmy, don't go, son, nigga, you my motherfucking heart. Stay still, son, don't move, just think about people. Should be 3 in January, your young guard needs ya. The ambulance is taking too long, everybody get the fuck back. Excuse me, bitch, give me your jack. 1718-911 low battery, damn. Blood coming out his mouth, he bleeding badly. Nah, Jamie, don't start that shit. Keep your head up, if you escape hell, we're getting fucked up. When we was there, we went to Bat Day to see the Yanks. In 69, his father and mines, they robbed banks.
Mr. Man, Brother Red, and we're back with Jesse Brown with season two of No Vultures, JB. And you left off talking about going from elementary to junior high and how that change in your life occurred. And so I know your background. If the folks didn't know, you know, JB and I, we played basketball together. First time I met him was, well, actually, you know what, I don't know if we had PE together, but we used to play basketball at lunchtime. So I was thinking, this little dude, he going to be a problem. Because that was my thing, you know, sports is my thing. So I was always scoping out, okay, you know, where's the competition? Well, I was like, okay. And then I saw your brother. And then I saw Mike, and I was thinking, like, okay, you know, because I had heard, you know, everybody heard, like, okay, there's a cat at West, Michael Hickam, that is cold. And there were some cats that I went to school with. I remember Low Hickam and, like, Mike Cruz and Shannon Aiken. And I was cool with all them. Yeah. Like, Bobo and them, because Bobo was my cousin. And they went to West Boulevard. So I knew them. And they was like, yeah, man, he's cold. This cat is the real deal. And, man, the first time I saw him play, I was like, yeah, this dude right here is going to be... And I'm gonna put it out there. I'm not gonna say Cecil Estes level, but if you want to say somebody, you say okay, the next guy that's gonna be D1 if he keeps his grades, definitely. You know, Mike was that dude. He was doing stuff, and the handle, that was the thing for me.
Absolutely,
the handle. You know, he would just dribble circles around cats. And, you know, and then he had that beautiful finger roll. I remember Coach Whitney used to get mad when he would pearl on people. Because he always used to want to do the basic layups. And Mike used to have that move where he would flip it up and catch it and then pearl on you. Coach Whitney used to get hot.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was one. You see, Mike was one of the first dudes that taught me, if you were that cold, the coach will come off of some of his stuff to let you do what you do if you were that dude. Right. Because Coach Whitney, you would see him, and we learned as we got to him how he was, my way or the highway. But if you was that dude, if you was that cold, he would take it. You know, he'd be like, yeah, I don't like it, but you better make it. And he always made it. And so that leads up to, I think, at least for me, I noticed a change in you as far as just you know, what happened to Mike, and, you know, I'm going to go ahead and let you tell folks, you know, explain to us what happened to your older brother, Michael.
Yes, bro, you know, it like I said, leading up to junior high, I was a regular kid. You know, I wanted to play sports. I ran track, played basketball, did whatever I could. We went and played in the park.
JB had wheels. You know what kids do. JB had wheels, people. For real, JB had wheels. A threat, I'm telling
now,
you.
Now, listen, that's really the first time we – y'all smoked us, but the first time we met was in Topeka, Kansas. We had a track meet.
Oh, snap.
And,
oh,
and you was on the relay team.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Y'all all smoked right. It was me. It was me and
– oh, you're breaking up a little bit, JB.
And how Sean here with you. You don't remember, but you had a head start on me before we even got to it.
Okay. Now kick back and tell me that your relay team again. Who's on your relay team?
It was me, I think it was me, Al Sean, Marco, and I forgot who the fourth one was, bro.
Okay.
But we was in Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah, I remember running in Topeka. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. And that was probably, I know Paul was with me. So probably Paul and Skyler and either, was it Josh Wood?
Nah. I don't remember, bro. I don't remember. That was before we really went to school together and hung out together. That,
well, you know,
which I always heard of you.
Okay.
How fast you was, but I never had met him.
Okay, you know what? That might have been me, Scott. That might have been me, Skylar, Corey Hayes, and Ryan Doxley.
That was yes.
Yeah.
Might be who that.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Because, see, we had, because Ryan and Corey were younger than me and Skylar. So when me and Skylar moved up, we ended up getting Josh Wooden and Paul. But the original squad, because that was like my West Junior dudes, and I knew Skylar from Fun City. And then
we, yeah, I don't think Josh was on that show. It probably was the other.
Yeah, it was Hayes. Yeah, it was Hayes and Doxley, and then Skylar. Because I remember I met Skylar in Fun City, and then we found out we was cousins. Because I told my dad, I was like, well, I know Doxley, and he knew Corey Hayes, and he knew Ryan's mom too, Martha. And then I told him about Skylar, and soon we got over to his house. He was like, boy, he goes, his mom was a crumb. He goes, that's your cousin. That tells people about our little town that we're from, Columbia. But go ahead, JB, we got sidetracked a little bit. But yeah, go ahead and tell us about Michael and then what happened.
Yeah, so, bro, so like I said, going into West Junior is my seventh grade year, bro. He was in the 10th grade, I think it was. You know, it was one night in March, bro, cold night. I won't, you know, go into the whole story, bro, but, right. You know, we was all out on the porch enjoying nice weather for a change. Me, my mom, him, a couple of my uncles and cousins. You know, I decided to go in the house to make some French toast. It was, bro.
Oh, nice.
So, and we was say that again.
I said, nice, the French toast.
So yeah, I was on the French toast kick, but we was in the projects, bro. So it was a lot of people sitting out on the, what I mean, it was what you did when the weather turned good. Yeah. So, bro, I'm in the house cooking my French toast, and he comes through the back door. Michael does, bro. And I could see he was out of breath, and I'm unaware of anything that's going on. You know what I mean? When I left, everybody was kicking it on the porch, and he looks down at his leg, bro, and his leg was like bulging, wow. You know, like flipping, bulging. And like I said, I did not know what was going on, bro. He had red jog pants on, I think it was. Whatever color it was, I couldn't tell it was blood.
Right.
Until it started coming out of the bottom of his pants leg. He had jock pants on.
Right.
I'm screaming, you know, what happened? He's not talking at all. You know, he's not saying nothing to me, not responding, but he's looking at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he walks over and sits in the chair, and I ran outside where everybody's at, and I'm trying to figure out what happened, what's going on. And it's chaos, bro. I mean, it's absolute chaos outside. Like, bro, I step inside and not even 10 minutes goes by and all hell breaks loose.
Wow.
You know, I think, you know, I really sometimes think God did that for keeping me out of the middle of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if I'd have been in the middle, you know, I don't know if things would have been different, you know, or what would have happened. I don't think things would have fallen the way that they fell, bro. But you know, he sat in the chair and bled to death, bro. They hit it. What had happened, bro, is he had gotten to it as soon as I walked in. He got into it with these cats across the street. It was three of them. Him and my cousin got into it with them. My cousin pulled out a knife, and the dudes ran into their house and got a knife. My cousin walked away or went away. And the dudes ran up on my brother because he was the only one left over there, bro. Stabbed him in the leg, hit him, knocked him on the ground, stabbed him in the leg. They didn't try to kill him, bro. You know what I mean? It was, if they were trying to kill him, they would have stabbed him in the chest. You know,
cut
his throat.
It was pretty much just a street fight gone bad.
Bro. And you know, and listen, Michael, other than basketball, bro, what one thing that he was known for and growing up is fighting, bro.
Hands.
You know what I mean? I mean, he was a fighter, bro.
I witnessed Mike serve somebody. I don't know who it was. Yes. I first-hand witnessed. Yeah, dropped my books and just watched. I'm like, man, this dude could be Sugar Ray Leonard. Like, hands. Real hands.
It was an art. Bro, you know, he did it to me a couple times to teach me, bro. So he Yes. He got the better of all the dudes, bro. You know, so of course they went to go get a knife, bro. And like I said, it was a freak accident the way it happened, but it happened, bro. He died. You know, he was 16 years old, bro. I was 14, and I watched him bleed to death in my mama's arms, bro. You know, right there in my mama's arms, bro. So seeing something like that, bro, at 14. It changes you, bro. And that's where I changed, bro. You know, I really went from being the little brother and the guy that just wanted to go play in the park and, you know, hang out to, bro, I went full-fledged into somebody totally different, into a monster, bro. I mean, literally into a monster, bro. So that's what changed me, bro. That night right there changed me for a very long time. And I'm talking, you know, 10 years, man. I still suffer from the effect. But I'm getting better. You know what I mean? Right.
And now, when you said that you changed, can you describe the change as far as maybe just in school? Did your friends change? You know, what were some of the changes?
I went full straight up gangster mode, bro. You know, I was in school literally the next week, you know, after his funeral, with red rags hanging in my pocket. You know what I mean? I took over basically from where I thought he left off at, bro. But I said something to my little brother about this the other day. You know, when you got a protege, some of the stuff you keep from your protege because you don't want them to know some things. But they, right. The protege sees the perfect of you. You know what I mean? So when your protege is, they want to be better than that perfect part, bro. So I wanted to be, you know, what I seen him as. I wanted to be that. But maybe a little bit better or a little bit harder. You know what I mean?
Right.
Bro, this was in the 90s when Crips and Bloods and Gangs was full-fledged. I'm talking, you know, I mean, it was full-fledged. So, you know, that's when my trouble began, bro. I'm, you know, fighting, and, you know, that's basically what I started out doing is we were, you know, in school fighting, you know, stealing and robbing, that kind of thing. You know, I didn't care, bro, or value my childhood, because I felt like, you know, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I really felt like my childhood got robbed from it. You know what I mean? It got stolen that night, bro. So when I say change, bro, it changed me into somebody that did not care about where I was headed or who I would harm to get out of my way. You know what I mean? I hurt a lot of people, bro. You know what I mean? I hurt a lot of people, not only physically, but mentally too, because I didn't care at all. You know, the main person that I hurt back then was my mom, and that really killed me. And we'll go into that later on, bro, but that really killed me to see how much I hurt her after she had already lost one son. You know what I mean? And then for her to witness what I went through, you know? So, bro, it changed me into somebody that just did not care, bro. Not at all.
Okay. And you know, that's interesting that you mentioned that you just went full, you know, hard in the streets. And you mentioned the 90s. And I think that, and I can be honest, for myself, I lived in a bubble. Because, the life that you're talking about was almost foreign to me. And, you know, we talked off air earlier, you know, I told you the lesson that you taught me about being a stand-up dude. And, you know, I'll share it with the folks if you don't mind the story. It's a funny one, but we were in seventh grade playing basketball. And, hey, you got to get them grades to play. And my locker partner, what's up, Rick? He hooked me up with the answers because we had Miss Metter. And anybody who went to West Junior and had Miss Metter, you knew this woman was legendary. She did not play with her life science. Remember, she used to do that mastery learning where if you got an 80, that was considered a C. And, like, you know, literally she was giving cats F's. And I'm like, hold up. I got like a 68. That's not an F. It's an F in my class. This lady did not play. So Rick passed the test. He gave me a Scantron. JB's like, hey, let me see it. So he's looking, I'm looking. I get popped. I'm salty about it. And you got, and folks, you got to remember, JB's talking about living a lifestyle where you learn in the streets a lot faster about life and growing up and a code of ethics. Even amongst wolves and thieves, there's a code of manhood and things that you do. I had no, I'm gonna be honest, I was a punk ass seventh grade kid. I had no clue, you know, and JB's on a whole nother level. So I'm like, well, man, it's Jesse. If he hadn't got me to show him, I wouldn't even have got caught. So she's like, well, I caught you. So she goes, I got my eye on him. So eventually word gets back to JB that I ratted him out. He sends his wolves, my cousin Sean.
That's my boy, bro. Rest in peace.
Yeah, and hey, that's fam. And you know what? But it was a good lesson because I remember my brother, I told him, I was like, man, it's some bullshit. He's mad at me. And you know, I'm like, hey, I'm the one hooking him up. I should be mad at him. He goes, no, y'all was both doing dirt. So if you both do dirt, if one of you get caught, just shut up. He goes, you would have had a lot more respect. And you know, you wouldn't have had them issues if you had just manned up. And it took me a little bit of time until I got into high school when I started really noticing, and that's when you really started noticing where, and we'll get into this, where, you know, how school puts us, people of color, against each other.
That's right, bro. That's right.
And you know, and I know Miss Meadow, she wasn't doing that then, because that lady, she was just about her science. But it struck me when I had a coach ask me to go right out. You remember, you know Tui. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Yeah, I know. I remember I had a coach ask me, because Tui, I think PD, Tui, Sharon, Turk.
Yeah, that's
the whole crew.
That's cool.
Them niggas went downstairs to shake some dice during team sports. And, of course, he going to send me, oh, hey, Joey, go down there and see. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not finna go down there and rat out on them niggas. So what I did is I went and ran across the street to Burger King, got me something to eat, and came back. And kept it moving. But I thought about you, because I was like, this is the shit that JB's talking about, like why he was mad at me. Because, hey, man, hey, if you're doing dirt, man, like, and my brother, you know, Tone, my brother Tone was like, no, he's right. He goes, he should have whooped your ass for that shit. Because, you know, you was wrong. Y'all both doing dirt. And then, you know, one of you get popped. You know, and that's one thing, young people, y'all need to learn to be solid. So, JB, thank you for that lesson. Word up. Yeah, that was a real life lesson I got from an OG. All right, now JB. Now, you said you made the change. Tell us about gang life in Columbia, Missouri, because that's something I'm very interested in, because I honestly, you know, I saw you guys with, you know, wearing the rags and the beepers and stuff, and I'm like, man, come on, man, this ain't L.A. Like, this is Columbia, Missouri. But it was real. Tell us about the 90s and that culture back then.
Bro, so, you know, it started out like that. You know, like it wasn't shooting and killings every day like L.A., you know what I mean? Or like big city. But that's the way it started then in L.A. You know what I mean? It wasn't shootings and killings every day when Crips and Bloods first started. It gravitated to that point, bro. So, you know, we started out, bro, and I can honestly say, bro, you know, I was one of the first groups. You know what I mean? There was cats that came from Kansas City called Two Her Posse, bro. My brother was with them, and that was really the first Bloods that I encountered. Okay. And that was when the movie Colors came out.
Yes.
Bro, and it was just like the movie, bro. So, you know, that's what I aspired to be, bro. So yeah, we walking around with red rags hanging out of our pockets, our hats cocked to the left. I mean, you know, I can show you pictures, fully red everything. You know what I mean?
I remember you all had them red fucking dope mans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember you used to bump that DJ Quick. In ninth grade, boy, that motherfucking boy, JV, you was the first one I had that Quick, boy. Because you know, I love the music, so.
Bro, that's where.
Go ahead.
That's where we really started, is is Wes Jr., you know what I mean, just representing what we was, bro. You know, and then it gravitated to we started fighting for what it was, you know what I mean, fighting for our side, bro. And then it gravitated to something a lot, you know, a lot deeper than that, bro, you know, and which, you know, we can talk about a little bit, but you know, it got deep, bro. People lost lives and shit, you know what I mean? It got deep, bro. And it's even deeper now. And I feel bad because it's something that I started, bro. But it's way deeper now than I even ever encountered when I was in it. You know what I mean? Right. It's just one of those things, bro, that, you know, I'm blessed to have been able to come out on the other side of it. I'm embarrassed that I was a part of it, but it made me who I am. You know what I mean? And I stood tall in the middle of it. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, I am proud of that. I'm proud of that part.